Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Wednesday, the 22nd of April. Very nice to have you with us today, and we thank you very much for being with us. Let me introduce our panel to you. Was it yesterday I forgot to do that?
Yeah.
So let me actually remember to do it today. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joseph.
SUNY Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo is here. She's not at the college. She's here.
Good morning. Yeah, I woke up on automatic pilot and drove, you know, right straight here to get to work. And there I was at the university, the other job.
Wow. Did you spot the president while you were there? We have been able to get him.
No.
And the editor of the Daily Gazette and new grandmother. So let's congratulate her on that.
Yay.
Judy Patrick is with us.
Thank you
so
much.
How old is the baby now?
The baby is almost a month old. Very sweet.
Well, we just wish you that it's something, isn't it?
Very, very cute child.
Yes, I was telling Joe, I'm not the grandmother baby kind of type, but this baby has kind of enchanted both me and my husband.
You know what?
Boy or girl?
It's a little boy.
Oh.
And his name is?
His name is Caden, which I had never heard of before, but I hear it's very very popular.
How do you spell it?
C-A-D-E-N. And it's partly Gaelic, but also partly Arabic, because the marriage has both elements of it.
And, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. But, you know, everybody says what you just said, including Alan, because they all came along and they said, I used to really argue with people about grandchildren. I would say, please, not everybody has a grandchild, not everybody has a child. Yeah, and Rosemary's now waving around the picture of
your picture.
Holding it up for streaming. The really cutest grandchild.
Yes.
Of them all.
Not quite. And then comes.
And, well, I have to say, I've seen all the pictures. You all have very, very beautiful, sweet, cute grandchildren.
They're also
but
brilliant.
They are. But I wanted to make the point that when the grandchild came, and then we were giving out names, and everybody said, what do you want to be called to Roselle? You know, do you want to be
very
called
good point.
Nana or this or that? All of which makes me, you know, sort of crazy. It makes me ill.
Sick of your stomach?
Because are you grandpa?
No. And then they say, you want to be called grandpa? And they said, no. And I said, well, what do you want to be called? I said, Alan. I want to be called Alan. But I have to say that after those kids come, the Facebook pictures and it never stops. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm trying to restrain myself a little bit.
You won't be able to.
I'm not.
No.
Yeah, you won't be able to.
No restraint. I found this place that makes photos, and they turn.
Yeah, the canvas wall art.
I have murals in the house. I'm just going to just take down a wall and put up a gem of.
Yeah, just keep updating them.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And people say we're a program that caters to the older people.
We know all about onesies and strollers and
we're hip.
Yeah. All that good stuff. All right, we welcome your letters and even pictures of your grandchildren. Roundtable at WAMC.org. I'm sure I'll regret that statement. Roundtable at WAMC.org, and we welcome your comments. Very nice to have you with us, as always. Let me go to the stories for the day and check in with what is happening. We have been speaking about the case in Baltimore, and now we learn that the Justice Department has launched a civil rights investigation into the death of Freddie Gray in Baltimore. The Justice Department said that it was launching this investigation of Freddie Gray, who died after suffering a severe spinal cord injury while in custody of the Baltimore police. Gray's death has sparked repeated protests in Baltimore, where six police officers have been suspended as authorities there investigate what happened. The Justice Department had been monitoring the situation in Baltimore and announced Tuesday afternoon that, based on preliminary information, it was opening a probe to see if any civil rights violations occurred. And, Alan, I guess this sort of points to what you were saying yesterday when the six officers were suspended, that you said where, you know, there must have been something that they knew. So now with a term of based on preliminary information, we can assume that there is something.
Well, you know, mayors have a tough time, because if mayors don't stand behind their police department, they get a bad rap. So that if you get a mayor, even a progressive mayor, Bill de Blasio, others like him, who were severely criticized by the New York City police force when he got up to give a speech to them, they stood up and they turned their backs on him. You don't want that, because the number one issue to people is always their own personal safety. And as I said on the air yesterday, if the murder numbers continue to go up in New York City, I think you can pretty well expect it's going to cost him dearly in an election, and police are tied into that. The second thing that always occurs to me, and maybe this is just part of who I am, is that you look at potential political reasons other than that. So for example, who's the head of the Justice Department? Okay, and now you get a criticism of a police department where the former mayor is the only standing person right now who is expected or might run against Hillary Clinton in a primary. I don't know. I mean, those thoughts just keep running through my mind.
That's high and lofty. I mean, I think this is all about Baltimore. That is a tough city. It is filled with drug addicts. There are parts of that city that are really difficult. It is a tough, and up to now, one would have said competent police force that keeps it in control. They have paid an enormous amount of money for brutality cases in the past, which I think plays a big part in why the feds are going in now. This is part of a pattern. We also have new evidence about what happened. It's unclear whether that kid was hurt while he was on the ground or if something happened to him in the van. But did you know that the van drove around for like 20 minutes after the video ends? So if he had been injured on the ground, what you must do immediately after a spinal injury is immobilize the person, get him to a hospital. They didn't either. So their basic training when you have someone who's injured, regardless, if the kid were a murderer, you would still have done that. So really some very, very bad things went wrong in that arrest. And they deserve to be suspended. They deserve to be investigated. And I'm glad the feds are going in.
Well, wait a second. Look, I agree with everything you've just said. But to the deserve part is still unclear. You know, policemen have a very
to be investigated. Alan.
Yeah, I'm
not saying they're guilty, but they certainly are questionable actions.
Judy, you were saying?
You know, we talk a lot about transparency and the need to get the information out to the public, and this is a classic case where the public doesn't know exactly what happened. It appears that they can't actually interrogate the police. Police officers involved for 10 days according to the rules. And this is making everyone more and more nervous. It's just creating increasing a problem that in a way it shouldn't have to increase. They really need to look at these rules. It was obviously part of a police negotiation in a contract.
That's actually a really great point. It's so much better than Ferguson, where we didn't even know the name of the officer for a month.
There's that.
Maybe as part of these reforms, I hope will come out of this horrible wave of brutality, we'll see changes in these rules on how these cases are investigated and presented to the public.
Well, as I said yesterday, Rosemary, I think that one of the things that comes out of this is, you know, there isn't really a surge in these cases. I suspect these cases have been going on for a long time.
Sure.
But there is now a climate of holding people responsible for what they do and doing these investigations. You know, and Baltimore is not entirely as bad as you painted it. It does what Johns Hopkins is, Baltimore, isn't it? And Crab Cakes, aren't they there also?
The Wire.
It's a tough city. I lived there a long time.
And Crab Cakes? Overrated or
no? Delicious.
Oh no, they are delicious.
That's why you live there, despite.
I don't know.
I
have to agree. You know, it's a. I think it's a. As many cities. I mean, I grew up in Philadelphia, and I have to say, the last couple of years going to Philadelphia, it's turned. It's a rough city. And it's a shame, but I think its current state is it's a rough city.
I mean, we talk about the militarization of our police forces in Baltimore. You can almost see why that would happen. I mean, you all watch The Wire. There's a war zone in parts of that city, and drugs did it and has done it. And petty crime results from it, worse crimes. There's a high murder
homicide?
Rate.
Was that the other one?
Homicide also based on written by a reporter from the Baltimore Sun, David Simon.
Law and Order with one of their best characters. Belzer moved from
that's
Homicide.
Right, Belzer, yeah.
you know, they talk about Baltimore being a more diverse community, and maybe that will make them better able to handle the situation. Do you think that's the case?
That's a good point. And the mayor, of course, is a black woman, and the city government is very integrated. I always think these issues take blacks and whites and everybody working together. So that's a plus.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will continue our conversation. We always welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Sunwood Builders Amherst. Over 20 years of green and custom home building, offering home remodeling services and energy retrofits, working to save energy while maintaining design features, sunwood-builders.com. Albany Institute of History and Art, now presenting the exhibition Walter Lont Palmer, Painting the Moment, albanyinstitute.org. And Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, featuring LED cavity detection, digital x-rays, and Velscope oral cancer screening, PaduladDDS.com.
Good morning and welcome to the roundtable once again. We are very, very happy that you're with us. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, are there any letters you want to read?
I'm looking as we speak. Okay. Some of them are predictable.
I think I write that comment on my papers when I'm grading the kids. Oh, this is very predictable.
Oh, yeah. And I also write the word awk. A-W-K, awkward. Whenever, nothing else to say. Okay, and Tom says cops should serve their civilian masters. Rich says Baltimore, Chicago, Newark, and other cities have problems. The governor of New Jersey has little interest in his cities. Do the other governors? Here in New York State, we have cities outside of New York City which need help. A call to action is needed. We are beyond red alert status. And Terry says, hi, we hear the word compassion used all the time, but what does
it? That's a pitch.
I'm sorry? That's a pitch. That's not really a letter?
No, that's a pitch.
Oh, boy. I'm so sorry, Joe.
That's okay.
I apologize. And I think, let's see. Tom also says, Rosemary has come out from behind the trees. These are the trees, these things if you're
the
watching.
The microphones are hanging.
Oh, my God, I didn't put makeup on today.
Yeah. Oh, no, you don't need it. And Patsy says to you, Judy, hi, lovely to hear about the new grandchild. Heartfelt congratulations and best wishes, as always, Patsy Manning. Oh, and the thing I'm going to say is to you guys is that when we talk about state government, for example, on Vox Pop, you really have to beat the bushes for a couple of calls. But when you talk about how many chocolate chips go into a chocolate chip cookie, all five phones light up. People have given up, I think, in some ways, on politicians and politics.
Has that changed over the years, or is this something
no,
new?
No, it's always been the case. I think it's always been the case.
Well, while we have 2 minutes, let's just talk about Dean Skelos and the situation in the New York State government. I mean, let's face it. You have the three men in the room, and two of the men are under investigation and have charges. So what are we, when you look at the latest in the Skelos incident, let's say, the Senate has lined up behind him.
The
Senate Republicans have said, we support our guy.
Yeah, well, the Senate Republicans have always been closer to each other than the herd of cats that are in the Democratic Assembly. But I would point out, Joe, and to the panel, that as soon as the Speaker Sheldon Silver got into trouble, the cats came out and said, "We're all behind him."
For a couple of days.
For at least a couple of days, and then he was out. Then he was out. It all depends on what the prosecutor has. And my sense of it is that from what we have learned, it doesn't look that substantial. But, of course, if they've got people, and they got people who are ready to, you know, to turn, and there was one indication in one of the things I read this morning that they do, that could change a lot.
Yeah, I don't know how much this story's advanced in the last couple of days. Yeah. I haven't heard much, kind of gone silent on it.
Well, Preparar got his behind kicked for having been too vociferous on the Sheldon Silver case. The federal judge said, watch it.
I myself would love to hear a Republican get up and say, I hope he's innocent. I've worked with him for a number of years, and I respect him. But he's under investigation. He should get out of the way until this is all cleared up. Let's just do this. We still, after all that's gone on, we still have Republicans backing a guy who is under a deep cloud like this. I don't like it.
Well, let's try to remember that this is a very closely divided Senate. And if you do that, you risk losing a key player who really puts you basically into the majority numerically doing it. So
right.
I think they would be loath to do it.
I think this is about politics. This is about cleaning up Albany. Everyone says, oh, yes, we're all in favor of it, blah, 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 blah. And then when it gets down to it, oh, we think he's fabulous, and we'll go into his office so he can't come out and face the press. We'll go in there and talk to him and do business behind closed doors.
And
great.
You're saying these characters are above politics? That's pretty funny.
And then can any business really happen now?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
There you go.
Let's take a break. We'll be back, and we'll talk more. We are speaking with Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Rosemary Mayo. They make up the panel this morning, and we want to hear from you as well. Roundtable@wamc.org is our email address. You can also go to our webpage, wamc.org/roundtable. We will continue our conversation after this break. Good morning, and welcome back to the Roundtable. Very nice to have you with us. Let us go to some other issues and talk about other stuff, and we welcome you to join us roundtable at wamc.org. Let's talk about the DEA chief resigning. We learned yesterday that, is it Leonhardt? Is that the correct pronunciation of that name?
I thought it was Lionheart at first.
Yes, but no, Leonhardt. The Obama administration's top drug enforcement official will step down next month. Attorney General Eric Holder announced on Tuesday after her agency was tarnished by a scandal over sex parties with prostitutes, and she broke with President Obama on drug policy.
Where do these prostitutes come from? I mean, we just saw the whole thing with the Secret Service too, having parties with prostitutes.
They're young buff men, you know, and power.
Yeah.
Women, no problem.
Yeah.
I think you derailed us before we even began this. I would like to say I think they had two good reasons to fire her. She mishandled the very bad behavior by the DEA, and she broke with the president on a major policy. She serves at the pleasure of the president. I'm glad she's going. She's actually retiring.
Was it the stance of marijuana, right?
Yeah, she believes marijuana should not be in any way, use of it should not be liberalized. She does not want the federal government to support states that don't prosecute, that have made it legal. She's out of step.
But it's amazing that she held the job as long as she did with that strong opposition to Obama's position on marijuana. Right.
They're personal friends.
And so she came up through the ranks.
Backwards, and she's came up through the ranks. But nope, time to go.
So her retirement could set off a battle on Capitol Hill over the nomination of her successor, with some liberal Democrats calling for Mr. Obama to name an administrator who backs a change in policy on marijuana, and conservative lawmakers opposing such a move. And then I want to quickly follow that up with the deal on Loretta Lynch.
Well, yeah, like, of course there'll be a battle. There's a battle over everyone. And so what you're going to have is an acting director who'll probably serve out the term.
Well, you know, this Loretta Lynch thing is so interesting, Joe, because I think everything is political, and the Republicans know that this was a bad thing. They didn't get a lot of credit, you know, for stopping the president from having his appointee. But what's more, if they should get a president, And the Democrats are now in a position to do unto them what they're doing to the Democrats. And this, of course, is a very tough road for them. So I think that they took a look at both situations and they said, this isn't helping us. Let's get this done. And they got it done with a snap of a finger, really. You know, they decided yesterday, and they said, we'll probably appoint her tomorrow. We'll probably confirm it tomorrow.
Yeah, expected to win confirmation as soon as Thursday.
Okay. A, another example of Republicans and Democrats finally working together in Congress. We have another area of agreement. And B, it was an idiotic stand for the Republicans to take. For one thing, they ended up with Eric Holder in office months longer than they wanted. They didn't like anything about him. So how did they advance their cause with that? And two, they are opposed to an immensely qualified black woman. Way to bring in the minority vote for the Republicans. So
way
it was
go.
an idiotic stand. They did it. I don't know. I think they were flexing power and then realized that it was stupid as shutting down government. So we see they're being, as I predicted, forced cooperation.
And the sad thing here is it's all about a game. This is, as you say, it's all about politics, but it also, politics has become a game or a competition, and we really don't even talk about the issues at all anymore.
Which is why I take some exception to what Rosemary just said. Uncharacteristically, she and I don't agree on this because I think A and B are contradictory. In other words, this is not showing that the two sides can get together, which is what you're saying. This is the Republicans capitulating, which is very different from bipartisan effort to work together. You see what I mean?
Well, Alan, I'm gaining a mounting pile of evidence that places where they did cooperate, and part of the Lynch deal is this new law on human trafficking, and there was a true compromise in that. Women who are victims of human trafficking, because of the compromise, will have access to an existing fund of money for help,
well,
but they won't have access to abortion, and so both sides lost something in that.
Well, don't you think not having access to abortion was something that was worth the Democrats fighting for?
Yes, and I think it was also worth them giving it up to get Loretta Lynch into office.
Well,
and you get the women the help the other way, i.e. compromise.
Well, you know, we don't agree. But the one thing that you did say that I do agree with, you said it was an increasing pile. And I think that's true. And you know, some of those piles can really stink.
Oh, you were doing a play on the road. Well, I mean, important legislation has passed. The Medicare changes was important. I think human trafficking side is kind of an important thing. And no, they're not playing nice, but they are playing together, which we didn't see for a long time.
You know, that's the nature of compromise.
Yep.
Either nobody's ever completely happy or nobody's ever completely unhappy. You have to live with what you can get.
Mm. Mm. You're both against me.
Is that what it's boiled down to?
I don't know if we're against you, Seth. Like, we see compromise, both lose a little. You see winning or losing. And so I you never talk about compromise.
Do you think this is a woman-man thing? That women are more likely to compromise and that men are bellicose and, you know, always got their dukes up?
How did that come into that?
Well, because they're both women and they both are talking about the compromise. And I am saying it's not a compromise at all. I'm saying, you know, it's disgusting that a woman can't have a right to an abortion and that you compromise that away. It seems to me that's terrible.
The bill says they don't have the right to a federally funded abortion.
Well,
that's
you know what that means.
Not having an abortion.
You know what that means.
It means that the Democrats lost on a small point to get a bigger
point, which is the nature of compromise. I think that's terrible, especially coming from you, Rosemary. I think it's huge.
So shoot me.
I'm not going to shoot you, but I'm surprised at you.
You know, I'm hearkening back to my political science college courses where professors, mostly men, would always talk about how compromise was an essential part of the political process.
Right. Compromise has been there from the beginning, and plenty of men have done great compromises.
And that's the big difference between your professors and this professor.
Oh, it's what I never had you as a professor. I'm far too old for that.
No, you're not either.
All right. I'm going to take a break. I think I've called it this before. I'll call it again. We'll consider it a palate cleanser. And we'll be back in just a moment after these few words.
Support for WAMC comes from Davidson Brothers Brew Pub, featuring food, ales, entertainment, and more, serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week in downtown Glens Falls, New York. DavidsonBrothers.com. Smith College Museum of Art, featuring redesigned galleries with updated themes, spaces, and interpretations, smith.edu/artmuseum. And Alacrity Frame Workshop, Lark Street, Albany, New York, offering custom framing and new exhibits every first Friday, open 7 days a week, 518-915-1956.
Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us, Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Rosemary Romeo. I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We have a few letters, and then we'll get back to the news at hand.
Says Gerald, not your best. Really, a bunch of white people sitting around chatting about police murder of blacks. Huh? And Alan's unwelcome comment about, don't they have nice things like crab cakes in Baltimore, seemed ill-timed. An empty-headed jocularity got the rest of you off guard. He had to put it out there three times. People of color, people with children, relatives, friends of color, they fear for their lives. Please get that. And when a white person gets tangled with the law, they find out that people of color are the canaries in the coal mine, the 99% people who anyone will not kowtow to police. Off to a cell in cuffs, no shoelaces, belts. WMC, quote, public radio is part of the problem. Do yourselves and your community a favor. Go through a simulated arrest. And it's just too long. It goes on and on. And I don't agree with it, but I read it. What else can I say? You know, we have fun here. We talk about serious problems. And that's what it's all about.
Are there others? Or
oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. And Robert says, Hastie's house. Now that the new head of the legislature has been outed as a crook who profited from his mother's embezzlement and who will probably get away with his ill-gotten gains, let's all note the deafening silence of his co-legislators. Who's next? They should install a revolving door in the Capitol building. Well, I think you got to be careful here, Robert. Nobody has proven that he's a crook. There was an accusation that he kept the apartment that the judge told him to sell. That was what the accusation.
If you're a cop and you're accused of something even as terrible as brutality, you're off the force while it's investigated. Why are not legislators treated the same way?
I see. Okay. We had that discussion before about Skelos. Remember that? And Irene says, Skelos is a moneymaker for the Republicans. They will fight for him until the hammer falls, which it will. It is sinful. All the money the state Senate gets on a daily basis, the cradle will fall. Kevin says, they deserve to be prosecuted just for the fact that the kid, oh, we're talking about police again, had a broken leg and they did not get him immediate medical attention regardless. Where are we living? People are too accustomed to what these police get away with. After all, it is big business, the police and the prison system. Our safety isn't part of the equation anymore. And Wayne says, some of these cops need a lesson in the physics of weight on another object like a spinal cord. Put three cops who weigh 250 pounds on a slight individual's back and you have severed his spine, total lack of control, and poor decision-making in making arrests. And I guess that is it, Joe.
All right, let's go back to the topics and talk about what is happening in what else is happening in the world that we live in. We do want to talk about Saudi Arabia and the bombings and the Yemen bombing campaign and sort of the back and forth on that because the airstrikes hit Yemen after Saudis claimed to end bombing. Warplanes from a Saudi-led coalition hit hours after Saudi officials had announced that they were halting their nearly month-long bombing campaign against the Houthi rebel movement. I had sent a story last night that said that the
had ended,
and then we went to bed and we woke up and it had not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it didn't end?
No.
Yeah. Well, apparently there was some kind of deal making, some kind of back channel conferences going on between the Saudis and the Iranians, who are the two big players in here. We had Malcolm Nance in here yesterday, and these things have a lot of complications to them. So the Iranians, of course, are playing a big role, but The problem for the United States, apparently, is that we are both on the side of the Saudis and giving them the stuff that they need to bomb the Houthis, and at the same time, we're friends with them because they're fighting the Al-Qaeda group. So it gets very complicated.
And the nuclear talks begin again today, that further complicating everything.
The real problem is that the United States has no idea what it wants in the Middle East. It has a really chaotic policy, and it shows in Yemen, where we are negotiating with the Iranians. We're best friends with the Saudis. They're fighting each other, and the only real winner has been Al-Qaeda, which has advanced its stations. It's gotten much stronger in Yemen than it used to be, which doesn't help anybody that I can see. So, and we also now have a warship over there because the Gulf of Aden is extremely important to oil shipments, and we're there. We're in the thick of it. And if that means if the Iranians really are using ships in the port to give arms to the Houthis, who's going to go on that ship to stop them? Who's going to conduct the barricade? If it's Saudis, okay, that's the war that's already going on, a little proxy war in Yemen. If it's Americans, then we're embroiled in another war in the Middle East.
You know, I've always hoped that there is a comprehensive Middle East strategy, that they just aren't articulating it very well. But when things like this happen, you have to wonder.
Right.
I can't figure it out. If there is one, Alan always has hope in these back channel conversations that I don't see any evidence of. But if that's going on, great. But here we are supporting the Saudis in Yemen. We're helping Iran back in Iraq. Al-Qaeda is growing. Undisturbed by us. Looks pretty chaotic.
Let's move on. Alan, you're good on that? You want to...
Do I care if we move on?
I didn't know if you wanted to
Because I said you have all this faith in back channel.
The back channel thing, according to Malcolm Nance yesterday, obviously is going on between Iran and the Saudis. Mm-hmm. And they announced yesterday that they had been having negotiations. And then shortly thereafter, there was an assurance, as you just mentioned, that we were going to stop for a little while. And then now this morning, we haven't stopped.
John Kerry's been in there also, let's not forget, telling both sides to knock it off.
And the problem for us as a democracy from the people is that we don't know what's being said. We don't know what our Secretary of State is saying. We don't know what the Saudis are saying. We don't know what the Iranians are saying. So it does, I agree with all of you, that it does appear to be totally chaotic. And I think it is. And every morning when I get up, I give a little prayer and thank heaven that I am not the President of the United States in this situation, because I don't know that there's much he can do, you know, about it. It's really gotten chaotic. I think we made fundamental mistakes early in the game. And I said so before these microphones. I said, you know, you got to consider what the worst situation is, not what you hope that you'll take an Arab population who has never had any democracy and say, good, now starting tomorrow, you have democracy and you can build that institution and you can have it. Well, you couldn't. So is it a terrible thing to say that Saddam Hussein, who was a terrible man, by the way, was better or worse than what we have now? I think it was better.
Certainly was more stable in the area, and that was the cornerstone of our American policy for many decades, that we went with the person who gave us stability and friendliness to American interests. That would be multicultural, multinational big businesses. Mm-hmm. And so we have no friends among the Arab people who are now revolting in the streets. So what's more important to us, democracies there or stable environments? I think there's a difference in long run and short run, too. Our policy has been very short term by supporting the dictators. It's going to be trouble in Saudi Arabia, too, because that house is in trouble. And when
that's a very interesting point. We've given all of these weapons to the Saudis.
Yep.
And, you know, sooner or later, you have Arab Spring anywhere. It's the potential is that it's been welling up. You know, the Saudis have been unremitting in terms of, holding a scimitar to the neck of their population. But at some point, we saw it with the Russian Revolution all those years ago, at some point, what looks stable isn't. And you can, and those weapons then fall into the hands of the very people we're trying to keep them away from. Sorry. And we've seen that
ISIS
before, too.
ISIS is running their wars with American weaponry left in Iraq.
Sure.
We are terrible at nation building. You know, we think, oh, we had a revolution and, wow, democracy grew up and it'll happen automatically anyplace else. So we did not support the Soviet republics when that union fell apart and people fell into economic distress and they are not closer to democracy than they were. And now the same thing is happening in the Middle East.
Well, yes.
These amazing revolts and cries for democracy and freedom. And we didn't support in the way that would have helped those to grow. Mm. We made it much worse.
Yeah. Well, I recommend that everybody goes and reads Charles Beard again on the foundations of this American Revolution and democracy and see who was really running the country then and now. Mm-hmm.
We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. Our final subject for this morning, PBS is conducting an internal review following revelations of producers of Finding Your Roots may have violated the network's editorial standards after a request by Ben Affleck that the program not reveal he had a slave-owning ancestor. Meanwhile, Affleck has expressed regret for seeking to have the information omitted from the episode that featured the actor and aired last October. Affleck posted on his Facebook page Tuesday night, quote, "We deserve neither credit nor blame for our ancestors, and the degree of interest in the story suggests that we are, as a nation, still grappling with the terrible legacy of slavery." The review by PBS and the New York station WNET began Saturday, according to a statement released Tuesday by PBS and their spokesperson, Ann Bentley.
I love transparency. WikiLeaks took all of those emails that were hacked, probably by the North Koreans, and put them online. We had a front
the
page.
Sony emails,
the Sony emails, which right. this story comes from, where we see, you know, Gates, the Harvard guy, lying about he's
Henry
the director
Lewis
of the program.
Gates, the Harvard scholar.
So depressing. He totally lied about why they didn't put on that show. It came from pressure, and he fell for it. So we found that the Albany Times Union had a front page story based on the mails as well as the emails as well, showing that your favorite governor had unusual dealings with the film industry. So once again, you never know what comes out of material, and everything should be open.
but you're right. And what really comes out of this is that while the United States government would like to prosecute the people who have done the leaking, you know, in all of this, again, we go back to the basic concept of democracy and information. I think in some ways these people are heroes. Because we never would have known about
a lot of things.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But this was an entertainment show, and these were private emails. It's obviously a misstep on Affleck's part to try to get this taken out. But in his apology or his explanation, he does raise the important point that, you know, when you have a great ancestor, you promote them. Oh, yeah, my...
Alexander Hamilton, my great-great-great-great-grandfather.
But you don't talk about the horse thieves or the slave owners. And these shows do exactly that. They talk about the great ancestors all these people had. I think I vaguely remember watching this episode with Ben Affleck, and the occultists or whatever they featured was not that interesting. Even Ken Burns apparently has a slave owner, and he didn't act to have that, you know, erased from the show. But again, it's a entertainment show.
Well, I think that's the problem. I don't think we can any longer separate entertainment from news. They bleed together. I've used this show in investigative reporting classes. They use records and documents and interviews. It's very much along the lines of a news show. So when we say, oh, well, that's just entertainment, we can do it different, that's not a distinction that people outside
I'm
the
sorry.
Business get.
I'm sorry. I think you may miss the point here. This is PBS. And PBS has a responsibility. It does take government funds one way or the other, directly or indirectly, and therefore has an obligation.
Yeah, I don't want to slam the show, but it didn't really seem like a PBS show to me. I know I watched it on PBS, but I mean, some of the it did seem because national broadcast channels do similar shows.
NBC had a whole series. My question is, okay, but at
it's
what
actually
point,
taken from a British broadcast. They're the ones who started this.
So, at what point? as all shows
are. Yeah.
At what point do you as the human, you as the person who is being, they're telling your story, that your roots are being found out, have does privacy enter into this, that you say, this is what I want to include and this is what I don't include?
Okay. We do this all the time in news. If you want access to someone, you explain it up front. We're going to check out everything. You're going to give us access to
records. But this is,
again, records.
Between, does it matter? Who, if this is whether it is.
Doesn't matter. If you agree to it, the terms are anything we find out we can use. You lose control after you give us access. And you have the right to say yes or no, I'll be on the show.
And everybody should understand the rules because, you know, we give more latitude. Judy does, you do, I'm sure, to people who don't get the rules. But people who deal in public policy, they know they don't get to. Somebody asked me yesterday for a column I'm writing in advance. I said, absolutely
no,
not.
No way. You know that he was treated differently. The email from Gates said, what do we do? He's a megastar. So he totally was being treated in accordance with his stature. So, no, it's unethical. What happened was unethical.
It all depends on what the original arrangement was. We're not really quite clear exactly what that was. Maybe there was a contract where they said, you know, I'm wide open, you can use anything, or maybe there were a stipulation that he could.
I bet there will be from now on. Gates says this is the first time this has ever happened. So I don't think they ever had an occasion where they would have dealt with it in a contract.
And while, again, I agree with Judy, you know, you kind of wince at what when you read what Ben Affleck said, although his statements seem to be pretty good.
I thought his statement was great. In fact, when I read it, I said, why didn't Gates just say to him, look, you can't do this. We need to write about this. There's nothing shameful here. Obviously, he swung already. I think he could have been talked out of it. Yep. This was pure one guy treating another guy like a star and gave him special treatment without even saying, you sure you want to hide this? This is
why this is important.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't do his job.
Many more people are aware of it now than would have ever been aware of it if it just went right by.
All right, we are out of time. I thank all of you for joining us, and we will, of course, have another discussion tomorrow. And Judy, great to see you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Always glad to be here.
Always always a pleasure. Alan, thank you.
Affleck, Affleck.
And we'll be
not so much a pleasure, huh?
Always a pleasure.
Okay. I like when he says that.
I know. we'll be back after this short break.